Deuteronomy chapter 2, it says, then we turn. Now, this is Moses recounting the Exodus. So this is a narrative, if you will. And took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days, and the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. I don't know if you ever feel like you're caught in a repetitive cycle. Anybody ever feel that way? Feels like you just do the same thing. Just, you know, we're just going through motions, and I pity people who don't have more purpose in their lives than to just go to work and go to bed and go to work and go to bed. You know, we've got to have more purpose than that. We've got to have some function. You know, going to work is fine, and you need to eat, so you need a job, right? But even in that work, and then in that time after work, we need to have purpose. And we need to use what God's given us to make a difference. And sometimes we get in that repetition, and even in church, it seems like sometimes we're not really going anywhere. I don't know about you, but I look back on the year, and I had to look and see, what have we accomplished this year? You know, there are some things obvious. You know, the pain inside, that was this year. The pain on the outside was this year. Or we just had some lights done, inside and outside. We got a new roof. That was a big one, wasn't it? And so physically, we've done some things. We've added missionaries. We've added members to the church this year. Sometimes it just seems like we're not making any progress, like we're just going around the mountain. But as you look back and you see what God has done this year, we've made progress. And we're not just going in circles. We're not just compassing the mountain. Also, we ordained 2 deacons. We made repairs to the chapel building. And we got a new youth minister. And so we've done things this year. Things are happening here. And so if you feel like I sometimes feel like we're not moving forward, look back and see that we are. We're making a difference. And we're doing things. Especially now, it seems like we're in this COVID maze. Here we go again. By the way, it's bad out there. You know, the reports are it's bad. It's everywhere, and hospitals are overrun. ERs are overrun. ERs are overrun because people want tests. They don't even have symptoms. But they've scared them so much with the media that everybody's scared, and so they go get tested, and it's destroying the healthcare system. It's just overwhelming them. And then people who really are sick can't get in, and that's a problem. Now, look, there are people who really are sick, but they're the ones that need the hospitals, not the ones that aren't. And so here we go through this maze, and just when you feel like now it's finally behind us and everything's opened up, you know, it's so nice to be able to go to the hospital and visit people because I just feel like I can't do what I'm supposed to do. I can't go in the hospital. And then they opened it up, and you can go in. I guess it's still open right now to go visit, but they keep throwing us back where we're restricted and we can't do what we need to do. And to me, that's kind of locked me in this holding pattern. You know, they get the airplane up there and they tell them, just hold your pattern, and they just go in circles because they can't just stop. So they just go in circles and just waiting until they're given direction to go somewhere. That's what Moses says was happening here. So they're going around Mount Seir. We had come past it many days, and God said, okay, enough. You've been circling this mountain long enough. It's time for you to move northward. In Joshua chapter 3, they were getting ready to enter the promised land, and Joshua gave them some counsel, and he said, you have not passed this way heretofore. And we're coming up on a new year, and we've never been there, right? I mean, we always have all these new years through our lives, but this is a new one. We don't know what to expect. And so we look into it, and we go in with hope and expectation, but we've got to go into it with some goals. We've got to go into it with some ideas and some vision of what we can do. Not what's the church going to do, what can I do? You know, not what can the country do, what can I do? And as he's talking here, again, Moses recounting their journey, he said, we have to go turn our focus beyond our circle. I'm so thankful for those, like we talked about this just a few minutes ago, who jumped in and helped with the family from the funeral today and fed the family. And, of course, all that happened in just a couple of days. And arrangements were made. People made themselves available. They showed up. They did what needed to be done. We need that. I'm thankful for that. Now, I know that only two of those people that were in that group were church members, and all those other people were not. And so they're seeing the love of the church. We've got to be able not only to circle the wagons and take care of our own, but we've got to turn our focus outward. We've got to look outside and see those who need Jesus. That's why we're here. I love that our church loves each other. But we've got to look beyond ourselves. And like I said, we added mission points this year. We're doing things we haven't done. But we've got to reach out to people we haven't reached yet. You know, we're like the Hebrews. They were traveling from Egypt to the promised land, to Canaan. And the promised land is not heaven. The promised land is that level that we reach of satisfaction, that level, that new level we reach when God can use us and we can settle down because we're established and we have wisdom. Remember, on this journey, everyone above the age of 20 died in the wilderness, except for the Levitical tribe. Everybody above the age of 20. But even Moses died in the wilderness. But God didn't just kill them instantly because of their sin, because he needed their wisdom. He needed them to teach the up-and-coming generations about life and about God. Even though they had made mistakes, they had failed, they had sinned, they had transgressed God's rules, that God still used them to teach the next generation. And so you don't have to be perfect, but you have to be available. And so they were traveling. God tells them here it's time to break out of your circle and move northward. We got to learn to break the cycles that prevent our progress. We find ourselves in cycles that are destroying us, that are hurting our families, that are hurting our church, that are hurting our future. We've got to break those cycles. Verse number 4. He said, "Command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir. They shall be afraid of you." Look at what he says. "Take ye good heed unto yourselves." As we look outwardly, we've got to guard our testimonies. We've got to look at our lives and see that we reflect heaven, reflect Christ, and reflect the Word of God. That we reflect well on Capitol Heights Baptist Church. That when people think of this church, they think of good people, godly people, biblical people. They connect us with God and with heaven and with salvation. Not with, you know, mischief and misbehavior, but with good people. Not with hypocrisy, but with good people. And that's what we want. We need to look to ourselves. Look what he says, "Take good heed to yourselves." I'm the only one who can control me. I'm the only one. You can't even steal my joy unless I let you. You can't make me mad unless I let you. You can't hurt my feelings unless I let you. And so that, you ever tried to make somebody laugh that didn't want to laugh? Anybody ever do that? You try to make somebody smile and they didn't want to smile? I did that with Sam earlier today. He wasn't having it. So not only can I not make him mad, I can't make him happy. Guys, our joy, our happiness, our sadness, our anger is within our control. And so he says, "Take good heed to yourself." Verse 5. "Meddle not with them." This is important. There are people out there that we don't need to mess with. Period. We don't need to mess with them. And there are people maybe that are in your life, and every time you're around them, all it does is aggravate you and raise your stress level. Now, I'm not talking about your kids. We all know that, right? But we've got to make sure that we don't meddle in business that's not our business. I think it was, I can't even collect his name in my mind right now, but old preacher said, you can't stop and throw rocks at every dog that barks at you. Charles Spurgeon, I believe it was, that said that. But don't stop and throw rocks at every dog that barks at you. You don't have to engage in every conflict that comes along and invites you to it. You can just say no and just back out. We've got to learn not to meddle in matters that delay our mission or unnecessarily complicate our lives. Now look, some things we have to do. Sometimes life is going to be complicated necessarily. But we don't need to meddle with things that are unnecessary and that drag us down and drag down our ministry and drag down our mission. And I'm talking about individually and, yes, as a church. Verse 7, he says, "The Lord thy God has blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy way walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God has been with thee, and thou hast lacked nothing." Tell you what, as we start to look outward, we also need to look at our lives and be grateful for what we have. God's been so good to us. God's been great to our church. God's been great through our church. God's been great to us individually, independently, and our families. God's been good to us. Testimony Brother Harry shared. God's been good to us. And we need to remember that. We need to be mindful of God's goodness. As we enter in this new year, we look back at this year, we need to make sure we're grateful. I'll tell you what, it's hard to beat a grateful person. If somebody's grateful, you want to be around them, don't you, when they're grateful. But when somebody feels like they're entitled, nobody wants to be around them. But when they feel grateful, when they show gratitude, when they're thankful, they appreciate, that's good. Verse 9, "And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle." Avoid contention and stress that's not necessary. Meddling is not necessarily contention and stress. Meddling sometimes is just us in people's business and we don't have any business being in it. But contention and stress, that's a new level. We need to try to avoid that. Unless it has a purpose. I'll tell you something. With Jeremiah, they arrested him, and these other prophets, they arrested them because they were being contentious. What were they doing? They were warning them. They were trying to warn them of judgment to come. And you say, well, that's contentious. Well, the world needs warning. I'll tell you, the day is approaching. We're one day closer, aren't we? You're one day closer to dying. We're one day closer to heaven. We're one day closer to judgment, whichever side you sit on. And so we need to be mindful that the end is nearer. It's getting closer. And so sometimes contention is going to be necessary, but we need to avoid it unless it serves God's purpose. Look at verse 24. It says, "Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it." Look at this. "And contend with him in battle." So sometimes contention, battles are necessary. Sometimes they are. But let's just make sure we don't get into some that don't have any purpose. Don't get into a battle unless it's God ordained. Look at verse 25. "This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee." You want to know something? When they got to Jericho, Rahab said, "I know who you are because I know God's reputation. I know what God's done through you." What happened? She saw the power of God and she was scared. They need to see the power of God. They need to see people who live for Jesus and have liberty and freedom and grace and hope and love and forgiveness and say, "Now that's the way I want to live." And I talked about that this morning at the service for Brother Forrest, and I said, you know, look at his life. He had a great life. He was a great guy, had a great life. You can't look at his life and say, yeah, but boy, he could have done a whole lot more if he hadn't have been a Christian. You won't be able to do that. God blessed his life, but it's because he surrendered his life to Christ all those years ago, and it made a difference. Living for God will make a difference. And sometimes it requires contention. So, finally in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, Paul admonishes the Romans. "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." We ought to seek peace in this new year. We ought to stay out of the quarrels that don't accomplish anything. Guys, we can argue about Washington all you want, but when's the last time anybody called and asked you to write a bill or to sign a law? They don't. And so most of the time, all we're doing is aggravating people when we talk about politics. Look, I'll talk about politics. But when it starts to go south, I want out. I want to get out of it. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. How many people do you know that you've talked to in the last 2 years, no matter which side you're on, you told them and they said, you know what, you make a good argument, I'm changing my vote. Anybody? No. No, they are dug in. By the way, so am I. And so why meddle in it? Why argue? Why have contention? Why have stress? That's one thing that we cannot talk about, not argue about, not get dragged into, because it's not going to accomplish anything. Now, if you happen to be with a friend and you think you've got a great argument, they've got a willing heart to hear your side. And by the way, never enter into one of those discussions unless you're willing to change too. Because what if they have a good argument? Right? You say, well, then I'm not going to get in those discussions because I'm not changing. There you go. But we have an opportunity to stop this cycle and start making a difference. To not just come to church on Sunday and then go back into the world and then come to church on Wednesday and go back into the world and back into the church on Sunday and back into the world, but to really turn north, to really turn toward God and say, God, I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray and I'm going to help people. And I'm going to stay out of arguments and fights and contention and stress and meddling with things that don't matter to me, that don't matter to God, that aren't part of God's plan for my life. Let's stand. Father, we see your word and you give us great instruction. God, you've given us everything we need to live well, to live in faith, to live true, honestly before all men. I pray that you will comfort our hearts, strengthen us. God, most of all, that you will grip our hearts, arrest our thoughts. Keep us focused on your plan, on your purpose, knowing that the day is approaching when we must all stand before you. God, that we'll look forward to that day because we know we've run our race well. Dismiss us with your grace. Bring us back safely in Jesus' name. Amen.